Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, May 30th, 2019. We'll start with a story titled District 118 Adds Way to Screen Visitors, and this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. Danville District 118 school board members Wednesday approved the purchase of security systems to be installed in two school buildings. Earlier this year, a 10-person safety committee consisting mostly of District 118 staff toured a Decatur Alternative School and Joliet Central High School to see how those schools deal with safety issues. One of the committee's recommendations was installing the Raptor Visitor Identification System at Danville High School and Northridge Middle School, a system that the committee saw in action when it visited the Joliet High School. The Raptor system will be installed at both the Circle Drive and Clock Tower entrances at DHS and at two entrances at Northridge. The system would be set to check the sex offender basis database. Visitors will relinquish their driver's license or state identification card and be issued a temporary picture ID. The cost for the equipment that will be installed at the two DHS entrances and at two Northridge entrances will be $2,409 per building. An annual subscription for the service will cost $540 per building. We'd like to put it in place at Danville High School and Northridge to start with because it's a minimal cost, Business Director Heather Smith said. It's a way to keep our staff and students safe. When board member Darlene Holleran asked whether the system would be used during public events at DHS, expressing concern it might take too long to screen a large crowd, Smith said the system would be used during the school day when staff and students are present. Board member Lon Henderson asked whether there would be an issue asking a visitor for his or her driver's license or state ID, since it's deemed discriminatory to do so at polling places. Superintendent Alicia Geddes said if a visitor does not have a driver's license or a state ID, your entry could be denied or you would have to wait for someone to escort you. Also on Wednesday, board members set the 2019-2020 school calendar. At the traditional schools, the first day of school for students is August 13th. Fall break is October 14th through the 18th. Winter break is December 23rd to January 3rd. And spring break is March 23rd through the 27th. At Northeast, the balanced calendar school, the first day of school for students is July 22nd. Fall break is September 30th through October 18th. Winter break is December 23rd through January 3rd, and spring break is March 23rd through April 10th. For pre-kindergarten, the first day of school for students is August 14th, fall break October 14th through the 18th, winter break is December 23rd through January 3rd, and spring break is March 23rd through the 27th. They also approved a grant application to expand pre-kindergarten in fiscal year 2020 that would add three full-time classrooms at Edison Elementary School and move two half-time programs to Southwest Elementary from Edison so that Southwest will have 12 half-time pre-kindergarten classes in the 2019-2020 school year. An additional 55 children would be served. They also approved purchasing the FastBridge K-8 math and reading assessment for $37,000, a cost savings of $21,850. And they also approved purchasing Discovery Education Social Studies textbooks for $108,900, which includes 6 years of materials and staff training. And they also approved the 2019-2020 Ownership in Education Handbook. Changes include adding vaping as a disciplinary infraction, determining penalties for dress code violations, adding the second chance program as an alternative to suspension expulsion, adding scholastic requirements set by the IHSA and the school board that must be met to participate in extracurricular activities, and highly discouraging prearranged absences. Okay, the next story is titled Kickoff to Summer. Covington Festival offers mural painting, music, and vendors. And this is written by Mary Wyckoff in Covington, Indiana. And there's a picture of children and adults enjoying a variety of activities such as these bubbles at last year's street festival in Covington, Indiana. This year's event begins Friday night in the Fountain County community. How would you like to paint a mural, or at least part of a mural? Visitors to the Covington Street Festival on Friday evening will have a chance to dip a brush into paint, as well as enjoy many other activities. The festival will be from 4 to 8 p.m. EDT time Friday in the downtown area, followed by the after hours from 9 p.m. to midnight. This is a kickoff for summer, said Julie Root, a member of the planning committee and owner of Julie's Java. It's definitely a very family-oriented event. That's what I love about it. The third annual festival will feature several vendors, live entertainment, food booths, children's activities, the popular golf cart raffle, and more. Downtown shops will be open. A unique attraction this year is that local artist Hannah Klingen has designed a mural for the site of the Keller PC building on the northwest corner of the Fountain County Square. The one-story building faces the downtown square. Klingen said she hopes the colorful artwork will brighten that corner and inspire future local artists to start their own projects. The mural will have a history theme featuring the Wabash River, Old Iron Bridge, trees, and the words "Explore Downtown Covington." The lower part of the mural will have a paint-by-number design with numbers and corresponding cans of paint. People may add their touches throughout the evening. Klingen will be available to oversee the work and help people if necessary. We need all hands on deck to complete it, she said. Everyone is capable of doing this. I'm excited. Then Klingen and other local artists will finish the painting during the weekend. Lisa Fudge, president of the Covington Business Association, said this is a way to involve the community in being part of the artwork. The live entertainment kicks off at 4 p.m. EDT time with MC Jason Smith. The schedule is all times are EDT time, 4 p.m. Jack Shannon, 5:15 p.m. Aaron Reynolds, 6:15 Wizard of the Wabash Magic Show, and 7 p.m. Katie Kraut Easter. At 9 p.m. Stone Bluff will perform for after hours. Activities for children include bounce houses, face painting, balloon artists, and members of the fire and police departments available to talk about their jobs, and kids can have their photos taken in the emergency vehicles. Tickets for the golf cart raffle, which are $2, may be purchased at Julie's Java, the Covington City Building, or in the gazebo during the event. The winner must be present during the event. The drawing will be toward the end of the evening. Last year's winner was Jane Darby. Food vendors will be present, including Bud's Barbecue, Soddy Bobby, Got About, Two Chicks and a Dog, Dippin' Dots, Kona Ice, Susie Q's, Music Boosters, Crazy Clovers, 4-H Club, Jamie's Pizza and Crafty Crepes, Will House Donuts, Little Bites and Beyond, and Pumpkin Rolls by Debbie. The After Hours event partners with the Northside Pub and offers drinks and music. People must be at least 21 to enter the beer garden. Some tables have been reserved by classes that plan their reunions at the festival. The street fair is falling on the same weekend as the Covington High School Alumni Association banquet on Saturday night, so Root is expecting a lot of people in town. On Saturday morning, a 5K run will start at 8 a.m. at the city park. Root says the festival began as an impromptu event a couple of years ago when WCIA-TV asked to film an Our Town segment there. Organizers gathered as many people as possible to the square and came up with activities just to keep them entertained. One idea was to have a golf cart raffle, and people needed to be present to win. With help from the Community Foundation, the tickets were free. It was such a fun time, we knew we had to do it again, Root said. The festival made some changes the second year and this year. The committee is smaller now, but Root said, "We do it for the community because we love our community." Fudge also hopes the event will encourage people to explore Covington. The Explore Covington and Covington Business Association Facebook pages are great ways to see all the exciting things going on in Covington, she said. Besides Fudge and Root, other members of the planning committee are Mayor Brad Kane and Alan Lynch with M&B Music and Sound. Next story is titled "One Man Hurt by Gunfire," and it's written by a staff reporter. Danville police are investigating a shooting incident that left one man wounded. Police Commander Joshua Webb said officers were called at 3:56 a.m. Wednesday to the emergency room at Danville's OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center for a report of a man with a gunshot wound. Officers found a 29-year-old Danville man with a gunshot wound to his leg. The man said he had been involved in a physical dispute with another man in the area of the 500 block of Chandler Street. The victim said he and the man started fighting and then the man pulled out a gun and shot him. The wounded man refused to cooperate further and refused to identify the other person involved. The man remained at the hospital for treatment of his non-life-threatening wound. The investigation into this incident continues. Anyone who has information regarding this crime is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries, and there's quite a few today. Henry Hank Kochvar, 88, of Paris, Illinois, passed away at 12:49 a.m. Sunday, May 26, at Paris Healthcare Center. Services celebrating his life will be conducted at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 1, at Templeton Funeral Home in Paris. Burial will follow in Georgetown Cemetery in Georgetown, Illinois. Military rites will be conducted by American Legion Post 211 and VFW Post 3601. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at Templeton Funeral Home in Paris. Larry Eugene Young, Sr., 79, of Ridge Farm, Illinois, passed away Monday, May 27th at Danville VA Medical Center. Funeral services will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, June 1st at Crable Funeral Home in Chrisman. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the service. Burial will follow at Young American Cemetery with full military rites afforded by Chrisman American Legion, Post 477. For those who wish, memorials may be made to the American Legion or the Danville VA. Alfred Curley Arms, 79, of West Lebanon, Indiana, passed away at 1:45 p.m. Sunday, May 26, surrounded by her family. A visitation will be at Grady Funeral Home in Williamsport on Friday, May 31st from 4 p.m. until time of the service at 7 p.m. EDT time, with Pastor J. David Adams officiating. Memorial contributions may be made to the donor's choice. Eugene Gilbert Snap, Jr., 77, of Eureka, formerly of Georgetown, passed away on May 25th at the Loft Rehab and Nursing, formerly Maple Lawn, in Eureka. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Sunday, June 2nd, at Georgetown Friends Church in Georgetown, with visitation from 1 to 2 p.m. prior to the services at the church. Pastor John Myers will be officiating. Burial will be at the Georgetown Cemetery. Argo Rootsman Harris Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorial contributions may be directed to Georgetown Friends Church or Georgetown Historical Society. Thomas W. Wolf, 93, of Danville, passed away at 9:23 p.m. Monday, May 20th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Memorial services at 6 p.m. Monday, June 3rd at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with J. Sorrell officiating. Burial at a later date in the National Cemetery in Danville. Visitation is from 5 to 6 p.m. Monday at Robeson Chapel. Memorials in his memory to the Vermilion County Humane Society. Dr. Daniel Beaver Crane, 83, of Danville, passed away at 5:01 a.m. Tuesday, May 28th in North Logan Healthcare Center in Danville. Friends may call from noon EDT time until service time at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 1st at Hillsboro United Methodist Church, with Pastor David Inskeep and Daniel's nephew, Reverend Douglas Crane, officiating. Burial with military honors will be in Rose Hill Cemetery in Hillsboro, Indiana. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the American Legion, Post 210 of Danville. James Thomas Alford passed away Sunday, May 12th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center. Memorial services will commence at 10 a.m. on Friday, May 31st at Second Baptist Church at 934 North Franklin Street in Danville. Albert Tina Clark, 85, of Danville, passed away on May 24th at Garden View Manor in Tilton. The celebration of life services will commence at noon Friday, May 31st at New Life Church of Faith at 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. till the start of the services. Officiating Pastor Bobby Keys. Interment will be at Springfield Cemetery. A public viewing will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Thursday, May 29th at Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street. James Edward Jim Smith, 76, of Daybury, Florida, formerly of Piatone, died suddenly Sunday, August 5th, surrounded by family. Memorial service will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 1st, at Blurton Funeral Home at 309 East Washington Street in Hoopston, with Pastor Molly Spence Hawk officiating. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Burial will follow the service in Floral Hill Cemetery. Memorials may be made to Motel 70, 930 Tree Farms Road, High Hill, Missouri, 63350. Norma Jean Kite Duncan, 77, of Covington, Indiana, passed away May 24th, surrounded by her family. A celebration of Norma's life will be at 10 a.m. EDT time Thursday, May 30th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Covington Chapel at 423rd Street, Covington, Indiana, with Pastor Gary Johnson officiating. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. EDT time Wednesday, May 29th at the funeral home, with a Tri Kappa Memorial Service starting at 7:30. She will be laid to rest at Danville National Cemetery in Danville. Denver Carl Ball, 74, of Georgetown, passed away at 11:25 p.m. Tuesday, May 21st, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Denver's life will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, May 30th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center of Georgetown at 200 East West Street. Visitation is from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. Memorial donations may be given in his name to Southside Church of Christ. Gerald Alonzo, 73, of Catlin, died at 10:50 a.m. Wednesday, May 29th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. And Tammy L. Bowen, 61, of Rossville, died at 3:06 p.m. Tuesday, May 28th at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Monday at Bethel Cemetery in rural Alvin. Pastor Gary Milton will officiate. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is in charge of the arrangements. And Mary L. Dawson, 89, of Danville, died at 11:30 p.m. Tuesday, May 28th at Grandview Manor Nursing Home. Funeral arrangements were complete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home in Danville. And Brenda Stockton, 78, of Hoopston, died at 8:30 p.m. Sunday, May 26th at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. Anderson Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Okay, the next story is titled Danville School District All Day Pre through K Hinges on State Grant. Board approves pursuit of funds for more staffing. This is written by Noel McGee in Danville. And there's a picture of 5-year-old Amore Smith practices his letters during free time in the pre-kindergarten class at Southwest Elementary School in Danville on Tuesday. Come next school year, some pre-kindergarten pupils at the Danville School District could be attending a full day of school. District officials, with board approval on Wednesday, plan to apply for a preschool for all expansion grant from the state. If approved, the district would offer 3 all-day classrooms, each with about 15 4-year-olds. This will assist working families and better prepare our children to make the transition to kindergarten, said John Hart, Assistant Superintendent for Elementary Education. Hart said the grant would allow the district to hire 3 more pre-K teachers, 3 teaching assistants, a home liaison, and an instructional coach. He said grant recipients likely won't be notified until late July or early August, so it's going to be a quick turnaround. Danville's pre-K program enrolls about 400 students who attend morning or afternoon sessions at Southwest Elementary School and, as of December, Edison Elementary. The program, which has earned a gold status distinction because of its many teacher, student, and family supports, provides the opportunity for socialization with other children and early academic skills that set the tone for success in school life. The district is the administrative agent for the Preschool for All grant in Vermilion County, which also funds programs in Georgetown, Ridge Farm, Hoopston, Oakwood, Potomac, Rossville, Salt Fork, and Westville schools. Hart said Salt Fork is asking for an additional classroom, and Oakwood is hoping for a half-day expansion. Recent studies by law enforcement officials and leading business executives using Illinois State Board of Education data show that roughly three-fourths of all students entering kindergarten in Illinois lack the necessary readiness skills in at least one of three critical areas: social, emotional development, literacy, or math. Because of that, researchers argue many fall behind in their early elementary years and have difficulty throughout their school careers. Marita Kaiser, a pre-K teacher at Southwest, said students only get about 2.5 hours of academic instruction time during a half-day session. Now we'll have more time to focus on academics in large group and small group settings, Keener said. Plus, there will be more time to work on social skills and just have that peer interaction and learn the rules and routines to prepare them for kindergarten. Under the grant, pre-K students would be required to follow the typical day of a first grader, Hart said. First graders are in school from 7:50 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. We are hoping we'd have a little more say, said Hart. That's a long day for a four-year-old. Many of us felt it was too long of a day, but we'll have downtime built into the program. Next story, National Weather Service, 6th area tornado confirmed in a week. And this is written out of Henning. The National Weather Service has confirmed a 6th tornado touchdown in the area since last week. On Tuesday, a twister with 70-mile-per-hour winds was on the ground briefly in a field south of Henning in Vermilion County. No damage was reported. Last Thursday, tornadoes hit the villages of Cisco and Muncie. Early Sunday, the Weather Service determined 3 EF1 tornadoes caused damage to trees and homes in Champaign County. Next story is titled Sentencing. Squandered chance costs felon prison time. And this is written by Mary Schenck in Urbana. A Danville man who blew off what a judge called an extraordinary opportunity at probation for a gun crime has been sentenced to 9 years in prison. Caleb McClain, 22, will have to serve at least 7.5 years of his sentence for aggravated discharge of a firearm. McClain was convicted in October of 2017 after admitting that he fired shots in the 700 block of South Anderson Street in Urbana on April 8th in 2017. Although Urbana police found witnesses and apparent people were targets in the residential area, no one was hit by gunfire. McClain was sentenced to 4 years of probation, but the state took steps to revoke that in February after he was convicted of aggravated assault with a weapon in a 2018 Vermilion County case and tested positive for the use of alcohol and cannabis, failed to get an assessment of substance abuse, and missed appointments with his probation officer. McClain admitted that those violations in April and told Judge Heidi Ladd on Tuesday that he did not have a car for part of that time and that he got a job earlier this month and has an upcoming appointment for a substance abuse assessment. Assistant State's Attorney Matt Bannock asked for the 9-year sentence, arguing that McClain threatened to kill the mother of his child in the Vermilion County case and that he got started too late on the other conditions of his probation. He was given a golden opportunity, which he squandered, Bannock said. Public defender Janie Miller-Jones asked the judge to consider more probation, noting McClain's young age and his current employment. Ladd was particularly unimpressed with McClain's assertion that he wanted to get sole custody of his child after having been convicted of threatening to kill the child's mother. This community is under assault by young men running around like it's the Wild West shooting guns, she said. That he committed an additional gun offense while on probation for one highlights the risk to the public, she said. Slow news day, so we'll do a sports story here. Dan's open against league champs, and this is written by Chad Dare in Danville. And there's a picture of Danville Dan's manager, Eric Coleman, in the center, gives instructions to his team before a workout on Wednesday at Danville Stadium. The Danville Dan's will open the 2019 Prospect League season at home tonight against the Terre Haute Rex. a lot has changed within the city of Danville in the past 12 months, but one thing remains the same. Eric Coleman is back for his sixth season with the Danville Dans, who will open the 2019 Prospect League season at home tonight against the Terre Haute Rex, the 2018 Prospect League champions. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. at Danville Stadium. "I'm excited. This is my second home," said Coleman. "I like what we have on our roster this season. We will have some guys missing, but we have something like 23 guys here to start, which is more than we've had any time before this year. I think these guys have good energy, and we will find out pretty quickly what we have here as we face Terre Haute. Besides learning everyone's name, one of the biggest keys, according to Coleman, is developing a strong team bond with players from all around the country. We have to have a brotherhood and a family-like atmosphere right away," he said. "We need to have a good chemistry, and we've actually had a couple of positive things happen already with the weather that has helped. That's because Tuesday's downpour hit Danville Stadium during the team's first workout, and it was so bad that the team's locker room was flooded with several inches of water. All of the guys started grabbing brooms, and we just swept the water out," Coleman said. "There's nothing like a little adversary to help bring a team together." Coleman is hoping that the weather cooperates a little more beginning with tonight's contest, and once the Dans do take the field, the fans will see a team that is very similar to his five previous units, which have gone 165 and 141 with playoff appearances in 2014, 15, and 18. "We are going to run and be athletic," he said. "I also think we have some physical guys, which is nice. But our biggest thing on offense will be to get them over, and get them in. We want to be aggressive on the base paths." Officially, Danville, a league record 170 bases a year ago, with outfielder Zach Huffins setting the individual records of 44 stolen bases. "Our goal this year is 180, which is an average of 3 per game," Coleman said. We don't have a Zach Huffins, but I think we have a combination of guys that get the job done. Hopefully we have 9 or 10 guys that can get double digits. Coleman adds that Danville will have some big-time arms, as pitching and defense is also key to winning championships. Blake Molestinic, a junior-to-be from Eastern Illinois and a temporary player last year for the Dans, will get the start tonight in the season opener. Just do a couple community briefs. In Danville, free dental care, North Vermilion Family Dental at 3607 North Vermilion Street will provide free dental services to area residents from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday. Dr. Jaya Nelson from Danville Family Dental Care will be partnering with Dr. Vishal Kaladadia and team at North Vermilion Family Dental as part of a free dentistry day. Fillings and extractions will be provided. Patients will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis. For information, call 217-442-0056 or visit www.freedentistryday.org. And session scheduled. Project Success of Vermilion County plans meet and greet from 5 to 6:30 on June 6th for its new CEO, Lucas Salemeyer, at Oakwood CUSD 76 unit office at 12190 U.S. Route 150. Visitors are invited to participate in a short question and answer session. For information, call Project Success at 446-3200. And Kirby 2 perform Knights of Columbus at 310 Bryan Avenue will feature Logan Kirby from 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday. A $5 donation at the door is requested. Doors will open at 1 p.m. and all are welcome. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, May 30th, 2019. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this rain and tornadoes and everything else. So hopefully we're done for a few days. Anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.